Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got Curtis Motzke right here.
Hello. How's it going?
Curtis and I are on Zoom. He is in Chicago. I am in Sherman Oaks, California, which is one of the best parts of LA. Curtis, I met him at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2019, where his short film, The Orchestra, won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Horror Short. And proud to say that The Orchestra is in the Discover Indie Film TV series, Season 4, Episode 7. So just go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and go ahead, watch the whole series, but start with Season 4, Episode 7, so you can see Curtis's film, The Orchestra. But this podcast ain't about the TV series as much as this is answering the four questions. Curtis is going to answer the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are favorite films, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. And I am just going to throw it to Curtis for his favorite films.
All right. Like I said to you before, I think I tried to think of like good, genuine answers opposed to like, you know, the pretentious, bullshitty kind of answers. But so the three that I'm going to mention, this changes on like, I think a daily basis, actually what my favorite film is. But I think if I were being fully honest, I'd have to say that my favorite film is Ghostbusters, just because I grew up with it and I just couldn't, you know, I watched it a million times. The other two that I'm going to throw on there is Alien, just because I think it's just like a perfectly kind of written, you know, horror film in space, and like one of the, you know, perfectly executed kind of films of that genre. And I was also going to say Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, just because I think that's a perfect culmination of like the right director, the right writer, and the right, you know, actors right at the perfect time kind of in history collaborating.
Those are three great films, and I gotta say I love Ghostbusters being included. I love all three, but yeah, I think Ghostbusters, I don't even think people appreciate just how well written that golden age of comedy was.
Exactly.
You know, the Harold Ramis, the understanding of story structure back then.
Absolutely. I mean, I easily could have picked like all like 80s movies. I almost put Die Hard on the list for kind of similar reasons too, which I unabashedly love. But yeah, you're right. I think that like with all of them too, I think I love films that like combine genres, and like all the genres work so well. I mean, Ghostbusters is hilarious, but it's also like a good action kind of movie too. And there's like some great other moments.
It's good action and it's fantasy sci-fi.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And funny as hell. And Eternal Sunshine is just one of the most special films ever made.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one that I rewatched during quarantine because I hadn't seen it in a while. I was like, oh man, yeah, this still holds up, because it's like I said, just like perfect cast and perfect writer-director marriage. So well executed.
Yeah, it's so visual and so meaningful. My God.
Right.
Yeah, that's like one of the things I always joke that I need film to, you know, now that I'm a middle-aged, older person, like films like remind me that I have emotions, because we spend so much time ignoring them.
It's true.
That it's nice to sit down and watch a film that makes you feel like how important love is in our lives and how important, you know.
So raw and just like honest with the way it's, you know, depicted too, which is great.
Yeah, and one of the most romantic films ever made.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. And Alien, come on, you can't go wrong with the original Alien.
Exactly. I mean, though, I could easily put Aliens on there too, because that one's also awesome and great. but yeah, I think the first one is just so original and so simple again in its execution, again, story-wise, and then the build-up, and then, you know, when shit hits the fan, it's just great.
Yeah. Oh my God. Talk about building tension.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, actually, not to distract too much from your list, but did you see that it was going around YouTube or something? There was a behind-the-scenes or alternate takes of the chestburster scene.
Ooh, I haven't seen that.
It's pretty cool, because you see all the other takes of how the actors were reacting to it.
That's awesome.
It was, I don't know, that first scene is the way they're eating, and then, oh my God, one of the best ever.
It's so great. And there's like some of that kind of like overlapping dialogue. It feels so natural and real. And then when it happens and it just goes like quiet and like the thing emerges and it's like, what the hell? So good.
And it's easy to miss, but my Lord, that cast,
yeah,
everyone went on to have a huge, amazing, well-respected career. And they're all on screen together, honestly, when they're fairly young.
Yeah, that's true. You don't really, I mean, what was Sigourney really in before?
I'd have to look it up because that's what.
I picked two Sigourney Weaver movies, Ghostbusters too.
That's true. Well, Sigourney's amazing. But I bet she was probably had done supporting roles and a little bit of TV up to that point.
Yeah. And then like, of course there's like Ian Holm, who's like amazing. And Harry Dean Stanton. I'm going to get back to him. That might be a reveal in one of my other answers.
Oh, very good. Well, you want to move on to your underrated?
Sure. So this is one that I was like having trouble kind of like coming up with. I rewatched this movie during quarantine as well. And I'm going to say AI, artificial intelligence, Spielberg's movie, which I think is a movie that people kind of still like give extra shit for not being Kubrick and being Spielberg. But like when I watched that movie again, I was like impressed by how like sad it is, which, and people still, I think, misinterpret the ending of that movie, which I think is like pretty tragic. And I think technologically, like the effects and everything, like really hold up, but I think it gets a little bit lost in the Spielberg kind of filmography, and especially around that time when you have like, you know, Saving Private Ryan and stuff like that, that are a little bit more, you know, Oscar baity, but I still think it works really well. So I'd say it's underrated.
Well, you've given me one to add to my list because I'm full confession, I skipped it.
Wow.
Probably because it didn't get the, what can I say? Now I'm going to have to add it to my list because I like trying to anger people by saying that Ready Player One is the best Spielberg film ever. Ooh.
Now that's one I haven't seen.
I actually think he did an amazing job. So I just like to piss off the ET and Jaws people by saying Ready Player One is his crowning achievement, but I better see AI before I stick to this.
I'm telling you, it's a weird movie, but if you interpret it properly, you're like, oh shit. And it's not, there's definitely like flaws with it and stuff, like, you know, beats that don't quite work. There's like a weird, you know, Chris Rock cameo as a robot in it, which is strange as hell. But otherwise, yeah, really solid.
Well, and when he steps out of, I mean, that might've been blockbuster mode, but when he steps out of blockbuster mode, he does some interesting stuff, whether it's Amistad or Munich.
Oh yeah. Munich's one that I need to see again, but that movie was like, yeah, intense.
Yeah, I think that's actually one of his best too, but what are you going to say? So, all right, well, does this tee us up for overrated?
Okay, so this is also like a super hard one because like I, despite my personality, I try to avoid shit talking on too many films, but, and my first inclination was to bring up Nolan or something like that, which like, you know, like an Inception or something because of like fan base and stuff that kind of like just put him on a pedestal. But I decided to go with Donnie Darko, which I think is an interesting movie. It has a lot of interesting things going for it, but I think ultimately just doesn't really come together in a way that, you know, makes sense, that is interesting enough for me to actually care. And I think the problem with, there are certain like films and filmmakers that, you know, like, you know, bro-y kind of fan audiences kind of like latch on to. I also considered like, you know, I considered Fight Club at one point for overrated for similar reasons. But I think that the movie itself, I think I actually still think works in many ways as a satire. But yeah, for me, I think like whenever someone brings up Donnie Dark, I'm like, I don't know what to talk.
For sure. And I always say like overrated, you can still think there's a lot of great things about that film.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just saying that there's a Donnie Darko level of support it receives from people, it's just a good little indie.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. That's like, you know, it can, I think it should be appreciated for that regard. But then there are some people who are just like obsessed and obnoxious about it, where I'm like, okay, that's overrating it though.
For sure. Which makes it a good pick. Cool. All right, well, the last one, and you've already given me, well, thankfully you've only given me AI to look up, but what's your lesser known to seek out?
Now you might have seen this already. So I don't know how lesser known it is, but I brought it up to other people and they haven't heard it. Starring the great Harry Dean Stanton, Lucky. Have you seen Lucky?
I don't think I've seen Lucky.
It's a phenomenal kind of, it was like one of his, if not his last movie. But it's directed by John Carroll Lynch. Tom Skerritt is in it. Ed Begley Jr. is in it. And there's a great scene with David Lynch and a tortoise. And it's phenomenally fun. And like Harry Dean Stanton is just like, gives it like, it's all him. Like it's all about him. And it's super, super like powerful to watch. To see.
Oh, cool. I mean, obviously I'm a huge, I'm a big fan of his. I love that Tom Skerritt came up on your list twice.
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess they're both Alien and
yeah, very different films.
But yeah, Lucky is just like, it's just such a quiet kind of, it's a very kind of, it's like, it's kind of like a follow-up to like Paris, Texas in a way for him too. It's like that kind of, there's certain elements that like very feel like in keeping with that.
Yeah. For revered as he is, and for how much we saw him in supporting roles, he was it's fair to say he was underappreciated in his lifetime. I mean, I discovered him in high school when he was in Repo Man.
Jeez. And this, I just did look it up. This is his last performance and he's 91 in it. And it's like, it's just great. It's just like, it is kind of just a love letter to Harry Dean Stanton is kind of the thing. It's just like watching him kind of live his life.
Very cool. And anything that David Lynch appears in, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's funny. I used to have a joke about, do you remember when animals attack? You old enough to remember when there's all those TV. I used to joke when Actors Direct was like a horror series they should have. But for some reason, when directors act, I almost always love it.
Yeah, it's true. I'm trying to, or like when Werner Herzog appears in
when he appears. I actually think Soderbergh in Schizopolis is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's an old film. I'll give you one to look up called Into the Night that John Landis directed.
Ooh, okay.
And more than half his cast is famous directors.
Wow.
Who are just doing one cameo after another. Paul Mazursky. Well, I can't name them all. But anyhow.
Scorsese. What's the movie where he's in the... I can't think of it. The name of it. When he's in the back of the taxi and he's acting...
Taxi Driver.
Is that Taxi Driver?
Yeah, and Taxi Driver, he plays the sickest guy that De Niro ever picks up because he's the one who talks about putting a gun into a woman's body. It's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I forgot that was actually for some reason I was thinking of the movie with the taxi. And yeah, that's like. Yeah, he's great in that.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, okay, this part, this little cameo is so off the. I've discussed that with someone recently, and they said they think that De Niro's reactions to Scorsese during that scene are like, you're going a little far, man. Dial it back. Come on, Marty. Marty, this is Marty. You're out of your element.
I think yeah, the best ones are when they know they're self-aware enough to be like, at least if it's their movie or whatever, like they know that people are going to know that it's them and it's weird. So like it does have to kind of work on a meta, you know, strange way. And yeah, the significance of the weirdness of that scene works because it's kind of like him, right?
Yeah. And it is effective. And it's just, you know, whatever. It's part of a, I actually can't remember if it was part of a montage of a series of of Passengers or not.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that one too.
But he's memorable. Oh, that's a tough watch.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be in the mood for this.
Yeah, how often are you in the mood for a film that just covers every horrible thing that humanity has to offer?
Definitely. But
especially in these times when we need to be uplifted.
I don't know. I just watch cartoons over and over again. Just like whatever makes me feel better.
Cartoons are so great.
Almost done with my complete Simpsons rewatch.
Wow.
Right, yeah.
Disney wow, Club. That's dedication.
Yeah. Over 30 seasons.
We just keep rewatching Rick and Morty.
Speaking of Werner Herzog, director cameos, he's a great cameo in that show.
He does. Everything. I mean, is he aware that he's a parody of himself now? Like he's having fun with it.
Yeah. I think that he was actually in the other podcast we talked about the Music Box. I actually got to interview him at the theater, and he talked about how he likes acting and as a villain sometimes. Because isn't he like the villain in like what's the Tom Cruise Jack Reacher?
Is that I didn't see that. I thought you were going to mention The Mandalorian.
I mean, he's great in The Mandalorian, but that was.
But he almost funny. What I can almost picture him saying to the director. So. What percentage of Werner do you want here? Do you want 100% Werner? Should I dial it back to like 80? How German?
Yeah, I would like to see the child.
Do you want me to be a former SS sergeant, or was I just a collaborator, or was I, you know,
exactly.
out in the west part of the country, sort of away from it?
It so weirdly fits into the Star Wars universe, though, because of like how. I don't know, just weird he is. I think it was perfect.
Well, and how inexplicable it was that, I mean, we know it's because Star Wars shot in England, but why is everyone in space British? Why are they all European?
Yeah, exactly.
Except for three Americans, and one of those Americans is 19, and she's using a fake British accent half the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to pick apart those movies too.
No, it makes it good. It makes it good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but it makes it good to have Werner be part of the universe.
Definitely. Yeah. Star Wars is meant to be, you know, argued about and fought over, apparently, in excess.
Yeah. I mean, it's because it's so important to people. So yeah,
true.
There's no getting around its importance.
But yeah, I think the show is probably arguably my favorite iteration of it, in a way, episodic short stories like that.
I agree. It's nice to see it getting better.
Yeah.
Or getting what it needs.
Definitely.
All right. Well, I have a feeling we could shoot the shit about films for a good while longer, but you gave us a great list, and that'll be on the website. Before I list off all the websites and social media handles again, do you want to throw any out there?
Yeah, sure. My Instagram and Twitter are both Curtis Motzke, at Curtis Motzke. And then my website is curtismotzke.com or unfurnishedfilms.com. They go to the same place. Yeah, I think it's Unfurnished Films on Facebook is technically what it is. But yeah, I'm pretty easy to find.
Yeah, Curtis, I haven't bothered to say that I am jealous of you because Curtis Motzke apparently is a rare enough name. That you've got your name everywhere.
Jeff Howard does it a little bit trickier.
Oh no, Jeff Howard! It's believe I my latest joke at home is like, what am I changing my name to?
He's like a middle initial in there or something.
Wouldn't make a difference. There's like 10,000 Jeff Howards, and there's too many successful Jeff Howards in. It just doesn't work out. No one can look me up.
Are you on IMDb? Do you have like a percentage, a Roman numeral percentage?
I think I'm number, because I'm old enough, I'm number 7. I think I'm Jeff Howard 7, might be Jeff Howard 8. I probably should have been J.E. Howard, but
there you go.
The latest joke with the 14-year-old is I tell her I'm going to change it to a K, so I'm Kefri, and people can call me Kef. Because it'll sound close enough, like if we were at the theater during the festival and someone said, hey, Kef. I would still turn around because I'd assume they said Jeff, but
sure.
I assume I could get Kef Howard there. I don't know. I didn't even look up if IMDb has like 17 Kef Howards. I've never heard of someone named that.
Really, but name, yeah.
It's ridiculous. These are the ridiculous things that happen to us because we live in the internet age.
True. The sacrifices you have to make, your own name.
But I am happy for you that you have CurtisMotzke.com and you have Curtis Motzke everywhere we go.
Yeah, I guess. Thanks.
I should ask for the people who always, I never ask this question, but what's the heritage? Where does the name Motzke come from?
I think it's kind of like German, Austrian a bit mostly. Yeah.
So yeah, I was going to guess Czech sort of, but yeah, German. Okay. Central sure. European.
Yeah, mix of whatever.
Holy Roman Empire.
Of course.
All right, well, I will wrap this up finally. I hope I didn't annoy too many people. But if you want to see Curtis's film, The Orchestra, go to Discover Indie Film. It's on Amazon Prime Video, so just access Prime Video any way you can and search for Discover Indie Film. Watch his film in Season 4, Episode 7, but watch all four seasons and give it 5 stars. Give it 5 stars on Amazon. Actually subscribe to this podcast. Give this podcast 5 stars. Look up everything Curtis has ever done and give it 5 stars. And thumbs up everything you can. I did meet Curtis at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that he brought the orchestra to. And that's every November here in LA. And you can learn more at ShermanOaksFF.com. It's on social media. It's at ShermanOaksFF. And I think I'm remembering, I cut myself off. If you want to learn about this podcast or the TV series that's on Amazon Prime Video that was born out of the podcast, on social media, it's at DIFWins, which is a cute name because we couldn't come up with what handle to grab, and DIFWins actually won. So, and then there's one more film festival to mention, which is Film Invasion LA that happens every June, and you can learn about it at filminvasionla.com. And on social media, it's at Film Invasion LA. And that ends the spiel.
Cool.
So I'll thank Curtis Motzke for sitting down and doing this over Zoom.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
And I'll see you next time you're in LA.
Yeah. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully we don't have to be uptight about getting on an airplane. I haven't done it, and I don't plan to.
I've done it once, and it was nerve-wracking, but, you know, got through it. We'll see.
I accepted an invite from a friend to go to a Dodger game and sat there with a mask on, looking at 50,000 people and thinking, what the F did I do?
I've made a huge mistake.
Even though it's outside.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it, but I said yes. Yeah. But I'm still clean. I'm definitely clean. Been tested.
Nice. Weird times.
All right. Well, I'm going to thank everyone for listening, and I thank Curtis for doing this.
Thanks again. I appreciate it.